Now, back to brainstorming with Billy.
A perfectly good brain wasted.
Now, here's your host, Billy the Brain.
Hi, this is Bill Frank, and you're listening to Brainstorming with Billy the Brain here on KKZZ, Positive Talk Radio for Ventura and Santa Barbara Counties. Every show has a theme, and our theme today is Life is Like a Movie Sometimes. My next guest knows something about movies. He works at Fandango, the online movie ticket buying site. He's also written a book about movie filming locations around Los Angeles. We're going to discuss the Oscar movie buzz and also some of the Oscar snubs. If you want to join in the conversation, you can always call us at 639-0008. Harry Medved has served as the public relations director for the Screen Actors Guild and also for Warner Brothers Online. He currently serves as the head of publicity for Fandango, the nation's largest movie ticketing site. Harry co-authored several books, including Hollywood Escapes, the Golden Turkey Awards, the 50 Worst Films of All Times, and his most recent book, Location Filming in Los Angeles. We're going to discuss this year's Oscar nominations and the movie industry in general. Harry, how are you today? Welcome to the show.
What an introduction. Thanks, Bill.
Well, what a career you've had, Harry. I mean, it's nothing less than what you've done. So I appreciate you joining us on the show, and I want to talk a lot about the movie industry. But more than anything else, I want to get into it with you. I mean, you know a lot about movies, and you obviously work in and around movies. You've co-authored all those books. So how did you get interested in movies, and what made you decide to pursue a career in it?
Well, you know, I've always grown up around movie shoots. I mean, my folks were not in the business. My father was a physicist and my mom was a chemist. But going to Palisades High School, the public Palisades, I always saw them shooting movies there. And I'm old enough to remember, these are really old movies, but like Carrie with Sissy Spacek and...
Harry, you're killing me here. Those are old movies? Go on.
They're pretty old, man. Coming Home, they were shot about the 70s. That's when I went to high school, in the late 70s.
Gotcha.
1978. So they were shooting Coming Home with John Voight and Jane Fonda at our school, and I was always fascinated by the movies that they were shooting there. And a lot of times I'd go to the theater and see a movie on the screen and say, wait a minute, where is that place? That looks so familiar. Like, I'll never forget when I was at Sundance a few years back and I saw this small little movie called Little Miss Sunshine. And you probably know what I'm going to tell you, but in the movie, they're kind of racing down to this beauty pageant, which I think is supposed to be Hermosa Beach or somewhere down south in the South Bay.
Right.
And then sure enough, there's a sign that shows them getting off at California Avenue or something, and they're going off this little bridge. They're like, oh my God, it's the Crown Plaza Hotel in Ventura. You got to be kidding me. It was so clear to anyone who lives in Ventura County that this is not Hermosa Beach.
Right.
But it was classic to see, you know, Ventura on the big screen like that. So I've always had a real affection for local Southern California movies on the big screen. And sadly, they're really shrinking because if you look at this year's Oscar nominations, the 10 pictures that were nominated, only 3 of them were shot in California. I mean, if you go back to the 1930s, all 10 movies would have been shot in Southern California.
That's right.
Got 3.
Well, it's that commentary on the movie business itself, and if time permits, we'll talk about the business. But I'm glad you segued into the Academy Awards, because the nominations for the 83rd Academy Awards are out. And were there any surprises in your mind to the nominations for the Big Five, picture, Actor, Best Actress, Supporting Actor, and Supporting Actress?
Sure, of course. Well, because I work at Fandango, that's the place where people buy their tickets in advance, so if they're going to one of the Century Theaters in Ventura or Cinemark, you know, or Regal. I mean, this is the place where you go and you buy your tickets online. And so we know what the moviegoers are thinking because we do these polls all the time. So we ask them, of all the Oscar snubs on Tuesday morning, which one was the biggest snub? And we put this up, I'm very proud to say, within about 2 hours.
Wow.
We had results right after the Oscar nominations because people go to our site to check them out. Christopher Nolan, the director of Inception, the fact that he did not get a nomination for Best Director is the biggest snub with 51% of the vote. And that was a shocker because Inception, I don't know if you saw the movie, it's clearly the best directed film last year. I don't think anyone expected he would win, but of course everybody assumed he would get a nomination. And this is 2 times in a row that he's been snubbed because he didn't get nominated for The Dark Knight, the Batman movie. Now this is his most cerebral picture. It is the kind of film that feels a little more highbrow you think the Academy would get into, but he just can't break into the director's club.
Well, it is. It is tough.
Steven Spielberg never got nominated. He did not get nominated at the beginning of his career, like with Jaws. A great directed movie. He didn't get nominated for that. I'm not sure if he got nominated for Close Encounters. So it took him a while to finally break in, and hopefully Christopher Nolan will break in soon.
Well, that was the point that I was going to make. You know, he's in pretty elite company there when you talk about Spielberg and some of the others that have been snubbed. were there any others that your fans on Fandango really found to be egregious snubs?
Yeah, 2 of them. I have 2 little girls at home, Shoshana, who's 6 years old, and Aviva, 6 years old. And I think they must have voted like 100 times here, although it'll only take one vote on Fandango. Tangled, did not get a nomination for Best Animated Feature. That was a 7% of the vote. We're very upset because, you know, this movie called The Illusionist kind of snuck in and took Tangle's nomination. And number three was Waiting for Superman, which is a terrific documentary about the sorry state of education in our country. I think people thought it would actually win the award for Best Documentary. It's from the guy who won the Oscar for An Inconvenient Truth, the Al Gore movie. And it didn't even get nominated for Best Documentary. So Waiting for Superman, 6% voted that as the biggest snub of the day.
Wow.
Last Tuesday.
Well, that is pretty amazing. And Waiting for Superman, maybe because of its controversial subject matter, is the reason that they kept it off the list. I'm going to guess on that. So let's take a look at some of the categories. And I'm going to ask you, because you're an insider, you work at Fandango. Harry, I want to ask you to take a look at the top 10 motion pictures that are there. And based on your knowledge, give me an idea of which one is the front runner. The nominations.
You know which one is the front runner. Come on.
Well, I know that, but I want you to do it because you're the expert. I'm just the host here. So here are the nominations. Black Swan, The Fighter, Inception, The Kids Are All Right, The King's Speech, 127 Hours, The Social Network, Toy Story 3, True Grit, and Winter's Bone. Of those 10, which do you think is the front runner at this point?
And the envelope, please. Can I have a drum roll?
And brrr.
The King's Speech.
The King's Speech.
You know, a lot of people were talking about The Social Network, the front runner, up until Tuesday morning. And I've always been saying The King's Speech from the moment I've seen the film, but I saw it just a little bit before it was released, because it is such an actor's movie. And you got to remember that the actor's branch is the largest branch of the Academy. There's about 6,000 people who vote for the Academy Awards, but at least 1,500 of them are actors. And Colin Firth delivers the performance of a lifetime.
Oh, yeah.
He is all about performing, and, you know, people who have stage fright and overcoming your inhibitions. And Jeffrey Rush plays a failed actor who becomes a speech therapist who helps, Colin Firth kind of overcome his stutter. So, I mean, the movie's got Oscar all over it.
I would have to agree with you. It's also an interesting forgotten piece of history as well, so that's neat.
Absolutely.
All right, let's...
History come alive, they make it entertaining, and it's got British accents. It's everything Oscar could love, and disabilities.
So there you go. It's a natural winner. So we're talking to Harry Medved, everybody. He is the publicity director over at Fandango. We're talking about this year's Oscars and also his latest book. Best actor category, here are the five nominees: Javier Bardem, Jeff Bridges, Jesse Eisenberg, Colin Firth, and James Franco, one of Ventura County's own. So of those five...
Really?
What's that?
Where's Franco from?
He's from the east part of the county.
No way!
Way.
Where? So,
In Thousand Oaks, or I'm not exactly sure, but it's Thousand Oaks, somewhere in that area over there.
I didn't know that. Well, it's a great week for Thousand Oaks. You got Haley Steinfeld for Best Supporting Actress.
Yes, I know. We're doubly
fantastic.
Blessed. Yeah.
Yeah, but too bad Franco won't make it. In fact, his new movie, 127 Hours, just goes wide today, so everyone can see it. But no one's buying tickets for it. It's a pretty gruesome film. At least, and it's thrilling, by the way. I thought it was one of the best pictures of the year. But the entire time, you're waiting for that arm cutting sequence where he's got to cut his arm off to get free from this boulder that's lodged him in a canyon, and it's pretty painful but exhilarating at the end, because you know he gets out alive.
Right.
I'm not giving away the ending.
No, but and he's very thankful.
It's got to go to Colin Firth. I mean, Colin's got it wrapped up. He was nominated last year for A Single Man, in which he plays a gay professor at a college who's very frustrated with his life, and a lot of people thought he was incredible in that film. But in this film, you really feel for the king. I mean, it's hard to kind of feel for monarchy. You know, they're so privileged, but this guy never wanted to be king. And he really makes you feel all of his problems that he's going through, and you kind of get inside of his mind. And I'm telling you, you watch the clips over and over again, there's not a false moment in this film. He's just so in the moment. As an actor. So I just think Colin Firth has got to win it.
All right, so Colin Firth wins the Best Actor for the angst performance of the year. How about Best Actress? Annette Bening, Nicole Kidman, Jennifer Lawrence, Natalie Portman, and Michelle Williams.
It's a little tougher. If it were any other year, Annette Bening would get in there. But, you know, the problem is Annette Bening constantly loses to somebody younger. Usually it's Hilary Swank who steals Annette Bening's award. This year it's going to be Natalie Portman, because, once again, the actors branch loves movies about performers, about artistes, about people who give it all for their craft. And Natalie Portman as the ballerina in Black Swan really gives her all for that movie.
All right. We're talking to Harry Medved, everybody. He is the author of a great book about locations shooting in Los Angeles called Location Filming in Los Angeles. We're talking about the Oscars. Now a little bit more esoteric, or a little farther down the food chain, supporting actor Christian Bale, John Hawkes, Jeremy Renner, Mark Ruffalo, and Jeffrey Rush.
Well, you know, Oscar loves losers. They love people playing drug addicts, somebody who's just kind of a nutcase. And Christian Bale is just that, and the fighter. And the fact is, you wouldn't even recognize that this is the same guy who played the Dark Knight. He doesn't look like the silent and sullen superhero that he was in that movie, or even in Terminator Salvation. As usual, Christian Bale transformed himself. He lost about a third of his body weight for this role, just like he did for The Machinist. And he's kind of a sociopath. He's a nutcase in this film. It's with his eyes popping out of his head in a real goofy voice. And you really believe that this guy comes from Lowell, Massachusetts, instead of, you know, Christian Bale with his English accent. Just a brilliant performance. And the guy's never been nominated for an Oscar. And I think the fact that he kind of lost his temper and had that temper tantrum on the set of Terminator Salvation a year or two ago actually enhances his reputation. It kind of makes him Sean Penn-like. I think he, you know, because he was losing his temper because a cameraman was walking in his shot and losing his concentration as an actor.
Yeah.
So the actors will definitely vote for Christian Bale.
All right, so Christian Bale is your pick there. Even over Jeffrey Rush for The King's Speech, but we'll come back to that.
But Jeffrey won for Shine a few years back, so he doesn't need an Oscar.
All right, supporting...
His Oscar will be for Best Picture if he produced The King's Speech.
There you go. All right, Best Supporting Actress, Amy Adams, Helen Bonham Carter, Melissa Leo, Haley Seinfeld from Ventura County, and Jackie Weaver.
Well, usually this award goes to either the veteran character actress in the role of a lifetime, or it goes to the younger actress in a breakout role. Haley Steinfeld was terrific in True Grit, but this is not her year. It's got to go to Melissa Leo from The Fighter. She plays Mark Wahlberg's mother, and that's because the Oscar just loves those mothers from hell. She could have made it a Mommy Dearest character, but instead she made this role believable and sympathetic.
Okay, very good. We're talking to Harry Medved, everybody, and he's got a new book out. It's titled Filming Locations in Los Angeles. Harry, how'd you come up with the idea for this book, and what possessed you to write it?
Well, actually, Arcadia Press went to me, and they said, we understand you now live in Ventura County, and we're looking at doing a few more books out in that corner of the woods. And at first I said, I can't do it, because these are just labors of love. It's hard to make money out of writing books, as you probably know.
Yes.
But I have a friend named Mark Wanamaker, who has these incredible photos of production history in Los Angeles, and I said, why don't you do some of them with Mark, and I'll help out as a co-author. So we grabbed a third author named Carrie Bible, and the three of us got together and had a great time doing it. And we just had a big event last night at Larry Edmonds Cinema Bookshop, about 70 people. The biggest event, if anyone's in the Los Angeles area next Saturday night, is February 5th. We're doing a walking tour of downtown L.A. movie locations, and it starts at Metropolis Bookstore. So if you want to know more about that, go to our website, which is filmtripping.com. That's FILMTRIPPING.com. We'll also do something closer to home for you guys in Ventura County. On March 6th, we're doing something in honor of Women's History Month to honor the different activists who protected the open space. We're going to walk from Amundsen Ranch, which is now called Upper Las Vergas Canyon over in West Hills, all the way over to Palo Camado Canyon, which is the old Jordan Ranch from the guy who actually was Fibber McGee and Molly on the radio, Jim Jordan. And today it's just all open space, so we're going to do like an 8-mile hike and bike for Women's History Month, and it'll be a lot of fun.
Oh, that is fantastic. We're talking to Harry Medved, everybody, who is the publicist over at Fandango, the movie ticket buying site, author of the new book, Filming Locations in Los Angeles, and he was giving us his Oscar picks for this particular year, the 83rd Oscars. Before I let you go, Harry, I have to ask you about Fandango. Give us just a real quick thumbnail rundown on the company and how it's doing, how it's taken off so rapidly.
Well, Fandango's been around for 10 years. It started out on a little park bench in Santa Monica with a guy and a cell phone. It's mushroom. We now have more than 100 people. Yesterday was our day one as part of a new company. We are part of now NBC Universal because we were bought by Comcast 3 years ago.
Right.
And we've been doing very well. I mean, the box office was down a little bit last year for most people. It was down about 5% year over year. Fandango box office is up, and that's because people buy tickets not only online but on their mobile devices. So a lot of times if you're out at the movies, you're on a date, and you're somewhere in downtown Ventura, and you're saying, gee, let's see the different showtimes right now for The King's Speech, you just pull out your mobile phone, or you pull out your iPad or whatever, and you just go to our app, and the showtimes are right there. It's so much easier than going to look for yesterday's newspaper and trying to decipher, wait, where are the showtimes here? Because basically they don't push showtimes in the paper anymore, not like they used to.
No.
So people are using, whether it's mobile, online, or even on the phone, and calling the 1-800-Fandango number. People are using Fandango as their way to go to the movies.
Ah, that's great. We've been talking to Harry Medved, everybody, author of the book Location Filming in Los Angeles, also the publicity director at Fandango, the online ticket buying guide. Harry, it is a delight, as always, to speak with you. Thank you so much for your predictions on the 83rd Academy Awards. We'll talk to you down the road.
And let's talk again soon.